Hello, welcome to the Svetlifian Report. Today, I have quite the show for you. I'm going to be talking about the planned debacle, the planned fiasco of the Afghanistan withdrawal. I'm going to be talking about what that means for us here in Western countries. I'm going to talk about it for the United States and for Europe and for Canada. I want you to think about what has happened and how can I say these things. I'm going to present just about everything today. I've been talking about this for 2 weeks. This is going to be part three. Now, I presented some of this stuff before, but I'm going to lay out for you today exactly why I say this is a planned fiasco. And since this is a Christian news show, I want to start with a reading from the scriptures. And here we go. 1 Corinthians 18 to 21. 1:18 to 21. For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved, it is the power of God. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise, and will bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent. Where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of this world? Has not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? For after that, in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God. It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. Now, verse 18 refers to those that perish. Who are they? Those that die without a relationship with Christ. Where do they go? Hell. This preaching of Christ, having offered his life freely for the price of sins of you and I, is everything, is the power of God. For God to take on this miraculous payment for the burden of payment for our sins. Christ's blood was shed on the cross. It paid that price. There are some with self-proclaimed knowledge that they know better. They may claim that this never happened, yet it's part of the historical record that Jesus was crucified, died, and was buried. It is also part of the historical record the changes wrought in people's lives who believe Jesus died on the cross for them. Preaching is sharing the gospel, preaching the truth of Christ's sacrifice for our sins. Preaching is not always done from a pulpit or by a person who is preaching to a crowd. It is done every time a person shares the good news of Christ with the lost. Preaching is the way people hear of the love of Christ. Are you sharing the love of Christ? How is the preaching of Christ crucified the power of God? When God knocks on the door of a person's heart through preaching, and he or she accepts that they are indeed a sinner in need of the saving blood of Jesus, the power of God Almighty cleanses them from their sins. Is this not a reason to share the good news? Dear Lord Jesus, Lord, make me bolder. Lord, may I share your word in the gospel message of your death and resurrection with someone who does not know you. Lord, help me, help us to be your examples to the lost. Help us to be the person who shares your love in all that we do by our words and actions. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, let's get into this. Is what is happening in this crazy, insane world? That is something I want to talk about. And I do mean crazy and insane. What is happening that creates this... I don't know what else to call it, but insanity. We've been seeing things that shouldn't happen, like the botched withdrawal. And once you start to think about this and you start to really pay attention, that's the issue. We don't really think about what's happening. I think that's a problem. In general, we don't think. Why is that? We're so used to seeing things, you know, hearing things and just accepting them. But we don't today. We don't think. And that is a problem. We need to do more thinking. So let's talk about this. Now, if you've been listening to the news, you've been hearing buzzwords in the liberal media that should have warned us this was all planned. Words like botched withdrawal and many other descriptors have been used to, you know, this a screw-up or failed withdrawal or surrender, you even hear. But again, this is all coming from liberal media. I didn't say anybody else. I've heard it. You usually hear stuff like this from just conservative media. My question is, why is the liberal media saying all this? Now, if you're paying close attention, of late, they've started to call this a success story. And I'm going to tell you why they believe it's a success story when I get towards the end of this. Now, I want you to think about this again. The liberal media is giving the signal that it's botched withdrawal. We should be thinking about what's going on here. Because in general, the liberal media is scripted, keywords and phrases to repeat. Now, if you listen closely, you'll hear botched. You'll hear failed. You'll hear these same messages given throughout liberal media. That's a little scary. Why? Again, if these are scripted responses, shouldn't that tell us something isn't right? Maybe it isn't that they were botched. No, it started to make me think. You know, I heard all that, and that wasn't really what got me. What got me was the removal of the Contingency and Crisis Response Bureau. They call it the CCR. Now, on June 11th of this year, they ended that particular organization. The CCR was formed under Trump-era Secretary of State Mike Pompeo and was tasked with providing aviation, logistics, and medical support capabilities for the department's operational bureaus, thereby enhancing the secretary's ability to protect American citizens overseas in connection with overseas evacuations in the aftermath of a natural or man-made disaster. This organization has been created to purposely deal with just the sort of problem presented by the withdrawal from Afghanistan. If the CCR had not been removed, there would have been no bungled withdrawal. Are you catching this? Now, this is really important to grasp. Now, this organization was killed on June 11th. Again, I've been stating this for the past 2 weeks. This type of planning is behind this fiasco. It was done purposely to mask that Biden was creating tens of thousands of refugees. People need to understand that people are not refugees until they leave their country. Biden was involved in making tens of thousands of people refugees. And how did he do that? Because they were still in the country, they're not refugees, people. They're not refugees until they leave. Now, how did he make them refugees? He put them on planes and took them hundreds and thousands of miles away from their homeland. Now they are officially refugees. Wait a minute. That's not entirely true. I want you to think about that. That's only part one. Part one, you have to be outside your country. Part two, you have to fear persecution so much that they fear a physical harm would be done to them should they return. Oh, okay. Physical harm. Is that happening? No. Or is it? Would they be in danger of harm? Ask yourself this, and I want you to think about that as I keep going. Now, I've repeatedly asked, where are the real journalists and analysts? Because if we look at Trump's deadline, which was May of 2021, when CCR was ready and willing to work, this would not help their agenda. So they put the withdrawal after the planned date. Because in order to achieve their goal, they had to first remove the contingency plan to get the American citizens out first. Now you know why we didn't do a withdrawal in May. Aha. So you're paying attention. See, Biden's plan to rush this is because all of a sudden people didn't, you know, they did this quickly because who knew about this being removed? They didn't want us to know. They didn't want us to look into this. Places like the Washington Free Beacon and other news organizations that are reputable are pointing these things out. And I thank them for this. Now, again, if they hadn't removed the CCR, that the citizens would have been removed first. That was the reason it was created. to solve that kind of a problem. Now, CCR is under the State Department. Keep thinking about this. Again, why do I say it's a planned fiasco? The purpose of the fiasco is to bring tens of thousands of followers of Islam here to the United States and other Western countries as refugees. There is a reason that refugees wait at least 3 years before coming to the USA and being granted refugee status. Security checks have to be made. For those of you following this story on the planned bungle, the planned operation, the planned fiasco, Colin Kahl, a former Obama official who served under VP Biden and later continued working for the executive branch under Trump, had many meetings with Iranian leaders. Remember the bad deal that had the Iranians laughing all the way to the bank? This is one of Biden's men that was involved with that deal. And he's being accused of being the guy who removed the CCR program.
Oh.
Okay, so they're going to blame it on this guy. Then they're going to come back and talk about his Iranian op. You know, maybe it was an Iranian plot to make it a bungle. No, they knew about this. The very man the Republicans in the Senate advised against approving for the posting he now holds. Now, I want you to think about this. If they really want to blame him, will he be jailed for treason or not? Probably not, because that would involve revealing all the dealings of Biden's White House with Afghanistan and Iran. Now, I'm not the only one on board this train calling out what I see as a planned fiasco. Leo Holman and I often find ourselves aligned speaking on similar topics and rarely, if ever, disagree. Even our books have been reviewed in the scholarly peer reviewed journal article. So let me tell you what Leo Holman has to say about this planned debacle. This is right from his article. I suggest you go to Leo Holman, HOHMANN.com, and start to read his material. And part of this, he's talking about what's happening, why, what are you going to see, and what's the purpose. One of these points he says, flood the zone of American cities with tens of thousands of Afghan refugees. In the short term, hundreds of thousands over a period of years, almost all of whom will require public assistance, paid for by American tax dollars, a certain percentage of whom will end up being radicals with religious grounds. Again, that's Sharia supremacy. For fighting against everything America stands for. Let me keep going. I love his work. Yeah, I love Leo's work. He's a thorough researcher. Afghanistan, rich in rare earth resources like lithium and cobalt, gets handed over to China, which will use them to further tighten its economic stranglehold on America. So could Biden benefit financially from this? Again, who made some of that money off of the deals when he was VP? Okay, you can't say we don't know that now. It's been revealed already. Biden made out financially as a vice president. Again, that would be considered conflict of interest and treasonous activity. But no, we can't talk about that now. Biden demands every American soldier get injected with a new experimental gene therapy, the long-term health impact of which nobody knows. This is still Leo Holman's work. He goes on, Americans' economy implodes under the weight of hyperinflation, stoked by reckless deficit spending, while businesses and hospitals fail, spurred by the suicidal policy of firing unvaxxed employees. Supply lines come under increased pressure by bare supermarket shelves, chaos, street violence, and possibly civil war. Chaos and war in America brings chaos and war on a global scale. After a couple of years of war and vaccine-induced deaths, the deconstruction will have been completed. A clean slate will await the promoters of the Great Reset, a.k.a. the New World Order. They'll brutally put down any remaining resistance and install their global technocracy in which the lives of every human being will be intimately managed by a beast system built on the artificial intelligence facial recognition software and gene editing, QR codes for everything, and everyone. A cashless digital money system and a social crediting system similar to that already in place in China. I may not agree with all of this part, and that's what I'll have to say. I agree that it's coming down the road, but I don't know that it's directly connected to this. I don't have that necessary belief that this is so well tied together. I'm of the opinion that Biden is a little bit more selfish and he's not engaged in a long-range plan because I don't think Biden has the mental capability to do those things. Do I think his handlers do? Well, it's possible. But again, the one handler I think this is, I think he's actually too full of himself to actually go this direction. And maybe swayed a little bit here and there. And if it's up to me, I would say that that is Obama. But again, I can't prove that. So I have nothing to put in that basket to prove it or to show it. There are little things that make me think that. I mean, why? I should probably just leave that alone. I just don't know, is what I should say. Now, the numbers of refugees arriving in Afghanistan will end up being extraordinarily high and will be targeted for dispersal in mostly red states and swing states. This, again, is Leo Holman, I should say. 11 plane loads of Afghan refugees have already arrived over the weekend in Fort McCoy, Wisconsin. Oh, are you catching this? Who got off that plane? What kind of checks did they have before they were delivered here? 11 planes worth of Afghan. Again, they're calling them refugees without knowing if they have been through the checks. Have they received the security clearances to come here? If not, they should not be brought to the United States, period. This is important to think about. Are they bringing ISIS here? Are they bringing the Taliban here? Are they bringing Sharia lovers to change our society? Keep thinking about this. Well, let's move on just a bit. You may have heard those caught already who have been found to have terrorist connections among the Biden-created refugees. Have you? I'm betting you haven't. Why? Because the major networks like CNN, MSNBC don't want you to know those things. Because then you might start to think, what's going on here? Well, let's talk about the terrorists that have been found. August 24th, not even a week ago, August 24th, at Al Udeid Air Base in Qatar, security screeners have determined that at least one of the Afghans who was evacuated from the Hamid Karzai International Airport in Kabul has potential ties to 100. 100 out of the 7,000 had not passed the simple security screening. Okay, 100 out of 7,000. Again, we're talking tens of thousands of people. If 100 in this small place, I want you to think about how many. So that's 100 in this place, 100 in another place, 100 in another place. How many different places did they go? And is 100 too many to let go free? But they've already brought them to the United States, people. What if they're already here and no one is supervising them? They've just been let go free. Now, that would be 100 possible jihadis, unsupervised, unwatched, free to wreak whatever havoc they want. Keep listening. Out of those, again, out of those 7,000, they had only identified one as likely ISIS. Again, by the 24th of August in France, an Afghan evacuee was under surveillance, or possibly indirect links to the Taliban, and was convicted and given a suspended sentence on Wednesday for leaving the hotel where he was restricted from traveling to Paris. This man, identified only as Ahmad M, was among five evacuees suspected of direct or indirect links to the Taliban. But again, they don't consider him the principal suspect. These guys were all arrested Monday in Paris after leaving the hotel east of the capital, where all five men were confined along with their family members. So these guys, if you're listening closely, again, got a suspended sentence. It was supposed to be a 10-month sentence. What was he doing? He was hiding from and losing the security detail that was watching him. Right. Again, this was required by their law. He's been evading them, not allowing them to follow. And this is the kind of guy you immediately should have all sorts of alarm bells going off for. Again, just a few of these guys. How many is too many? How many people did it take to take down the World Trade Center? How many people has it taken to do some of these suicide bombings? It only takes one, guys. And again, these, if you're a follower of Sharia, deceiving the average non-Muslim is allowable as long as it continues to help the goals of Islam. That is, it's not only possible, it is a requirement. Now, these are important things to understand. I'm not going to talk so much about the jihadi lying. I will not call, and there's a label that's being given out there called Islamist, which I will not address here. I will never use that name because Islamist is a word that's used. It's created, made up word, to imply that there is such a thing as Islam without politics. Talk to your average Muslim. They'll tell you it doesn't exist. An Islam without politics, it can't exist. It's not possible. It's not like Judaism, Christianity, or any other religion. Their faith structure has to include politics, or it's not Islam. Keep thinking about that. Now, again, this guy that they had caught in France, Amat M., was given a suspended sentence. He could have gotten 3 years in prison and about a $53,000 fine if he was convicted. They were asking for 12 months. They were asking for a minimum of 6 months. But they gave him, they suspended his sentence. So now he's free to roam as he wants. I want you to think about that. Would it be okay with you to have a roaming jihadi living down the street from you? Is it okay with him building a bomb next door to you? I'm not saying that that's going to happen, but I'm saying the possibility is extremely real. These are the things we need to be concerned about. Now, why did they give a suspended sentence to a potential terrorist who was refusing to respect administrative orders for surveillance? Now, this is something you got to think about. France is literally following thousands of potential jihadis every day. Thousands. Why are they following thousands? Because they don't shut their border. They don't monitor their border. No longer, because they have to allow it to stay open because they are members of the European Union. They promote things like Schengen, which makes it near impossible to protect their borders. These are things that are sad. EU is a feckless. It does not help the countries that are part of it. It doesn't provide for any security. In fact, it removes security. That was one of the reasons the UK was supposed to get out of the EU. It did, but it's seeing the EU work against its national security still. Now, last Tuesday, a press call with reporters, a senior administrator official said that Afghans are being evacuated to third-party countries and are going through robust security processing before coming to the United States. Really? There's been 11 planes that have landed this weekend. 11 planes worth of, quote, refugees. What kind of processing did all of those go through? Are you telling me they went through 3 years already of security screenings? I'm not going to say that's not possible, because it is. But 11 planes worth of people? That's where I start to have lots of doubts. Now, that's just Wisconsin. People, I've heard about planes landing in Florida and other states. You can't tell me that hundreds and hundreds, even tens of thousands of people have gone through national security training, national security screenings, for the past three, that have already been cleared, 3 years worth of work on each of them. Now, I have a reason why I'm saying 3 years. Keep listening. Last Tuesday's, okay, let's keep talking about this. The process, let's talk about this process. Now, I've got this quote, and I'm going to talk about it. This process is supposed to involve biometric and biographic security screenings conducted by our intelligent law enforcement and counterterrorism professionals who are working quite literally around the clock to vet all these Afghans before they're allowed into the United States. Now, there's a reason why it takes time, people. First of all, they're coming with no paperwork. And that's something also to consider. How do we know they are who they claim? You can't find that kind of information in Afghanistan. Are you catching this? Does that sound like Libya? Yes, it does. Have we found a lot of terrorists coming from these places? Absolutely. One is too many, people. Keep thinking about that. Let's keep going. There are some left behind who have not been followers of Sharia, who are paying the price. An Afghan singer and folk musician, Fuad Andarabi, who played the lute and sang traditional songs for locals in the mountains, was dragged out of his home and shot in the head on this past Friday. Now, I caught some social media posts also of a female Afghan street artist and her art. She would have been okay except for two things. Her art often had a woman carrying a piano-type keyboard. For you out there who don't know, Islam has no acceptance of instrumental music with exception of some drums at weddings. Just be clear on this. You know, I say a tambourine is somewhat acceptable, again, for weddings. But just to be clear, I'm going to share a piece from my recent book, The Cancer of Civilization Jihad, on this topic. If you want to support me, that's one way to support me. Go and buy my books on Amazon. Thank you. Well, let me read this piece. I want you to think, if you want to live under Sharia, you want to live under Islamic law, you want to live with those kind of parameters for your life, because this should make you think. Now, here we go. Music is performed with and without instruments. It's often created for worship of a god or as an expression of how the present world is to be, is to the composer. Often, it's just for entertainment. The more educated and trained a composer is, the possibilities for a wider range of instrumentation and vocals come into play. Music is a form of communication that makes people feel the emotion of the composer. An individual's taste in music can be broad or narrow. There are several kinds of music today: classical, jazz, blues, rock, R&B, and much, much more. Many famous sayings have been made about the importance of music, such as Hans Christian Andersen saying, "Where words fail, music speaks." George Eliot said, "Life seems to go on without effort when I'm filled with music." Modest Mouse: "Music is to the soul what words are to the mind." Plato said, "Music gives a soul to the universe, wings to the mind, flight to the imagination, and life to everything." Cahil Gibran said, "Music is the language of the spirit. It opens the secret of life, bringing peace and abolishing strife." This one really surprised me. Friedrich Nietzsche: "Without music, life would be a mistake." Ray Charles: "Music is powerful. As people listen to it, they can be affected. They respond." Ludwig von Beethoven: "Music is a higher revelation than all wisdom and philosophy." Now, Nietzsche called life without music a mistake. Only one culture in the world forbids most music today. That's Islam. Islamic scholars of all four Sunni schools on Sharia, Islamic jurisprudence, agree that music without instruments is forbidden. Music with instruments is forbidden. These schools allow only a tambourine, as Sharia requires. Again, Reliance of the Traveler, a book of Sharia translated in English, states this. This is from R40.1. Ibn Hajar Haytami: "As for the condemnation of musical instruments, flutes, strings, and the like, by the truthful and the trustworthy, who does not speak from personal caprice. It is nothing besides a revelation-inspired Quran, 53:3-4. Let those who refuse to obey him beware lest calamity strike them or a painful torment. The prophet said, 1. Allah Almighty and Majestic sent me as a guidance and mercy to believers and commanded me to do away with musical instruments, flutes, strings, crucifixes, and the affair of the pre-Islamic period of ignorance. Quote, on the day of resurrection, Allah will pour molten lead into the ears of whoever sits listening to a songstress. That was 2. 3. Songs makes hypocrisy grow in the heart as water does herbage. 4. The community will experience the swallowing up of some people by the earth, metamorphosis of some into animals, and being rained upon with stones. Someone asked, when will this be, O Messenger of Allah? And he said, when songstresses and musical instruments appear and wine is held to be lawful. There will be people of my community who will hold fornication, silk, wine, and musical instruments to be lawful. All of this is explicit and compelling textual evidence that musical instruments of all types are unlawful. Think about that. R40.2. It is unlawful to use musical instruments, such as those whose drinkers are known for, like the mandolin, lute, cymbals, and flute, or to listen to them. It is permissible to play the tambourine at weddings, circumcisions, and at other times, even it has bells on the sides. Beating the kuba, a long drum with a narrow middle, is unlawful. So you're catching this. Even some drums are unlawful. Okay, let's keep going. Singing unaccompanied music by musical instruments, R40.3. Now, these numbers I'm reading, these are pieces of Sharia. They are reference numbers to where to find this in Sharia, in reliance of the traveler. Let me continue this. It says, as for listening to singing that is not accompanied by instruments, one should know that singing or listening to singing is offensive, except under the circumstances mentioned in what follows. Some scholars hold that singing is sunnah at weddings and the like, and our imams Ghazali and Ibn Abd al-Salam say that it's sunnah if it moves one to noble state of mind that makes one remember the hereafter. It is clear from this poetry, which encourages good deeds, wisdom, noble qualities, abstinence from this worldly things, or similar pious traits such as urging one to obey Allah. Follow the sunnah or shun disobedience. Is sunnah to write, sing, or listen to, as more than one of our imams has stated, is obvious since using a means to do good is itself doing good. Again, this is Sharia that says, look, you can't even listen to a cappella music, music without instruments, if it doesn't worship Allah, basically. It doesn't encourage you to follow Allah. Keep listening. This should surprise you. Now, it's important to understand that Sharia forbids most forms of music. In fact, as seen in Sharia R1 to R3, it eliminates all music that is instrumental. Thus, all classical music is now viewed as haram, forbidden, as is smooth jazz and other music that has instruments. That means no blues, no rock and roll, no country music, no music at all, unless it is for Allah. And then only with vocals and a tambourine. This even eliminates all a cappella music, vocal music, without instrument accompaniment, unless it is directed in acceptance of Sharia's very narrow window. Islamic Teachings, a Sunni Islamic site that answers proposed questions, tackled the topic of the legality of a cappella music that is not sung by women and is not about nor encouraging of immoral acts. They began by referring to Surah 31:7. And of the people is he who buys the amusement of speech to mislead others from the way of Allah without knowledge and who takes it in ridicule, those who have a humiliating punishment. This site refers to Ibn Mas'ud, who was asked regarding this verse, and he replied, it's music by the oath of that being there is not deity except him.
This site also quoted a hadith by Sunan ibn Majah, Abu Malik Ashri, narrates that the power of Allah said, quote, soon people from my ummah will consume alcohol and call it with another name. On their heads will be instruments of music and singing women. Allah will make the ground swallow them up and turn them into monkeys and swine. Are you catching this? Yeah, like that. I want you to think about that. This is their words. Yes. Monkeys, Allah will make the ground swallow them up and turn them into animals, monkeys and swine. Abu Huraira reported the messengers of Allah said, the one who does not recite the Quran in a melodious manner is not from us. Sahih Bukhari, number 7527. This comes almost as a ban on music as a whole, unless it's a cappella and is promotional of Islam. It would ban the a cappella music of a Muslim singer and composer, Hisham Faghi, whose a cappella work, No Woman, No Drive, was accepted in America for entertainment, but was actually both humorous about Saudi Arabia against women not driving. Not long after his music was released, women were given some allowance to drive. If you pay attention and you're as old as I am, you'll remember that. You know, we kind of all laugh at that. Kamal al-Mekki is a favorite cited by American Muslims on the topic of music. He gave a sermon entitled The End of Music around June of 2008. He states in the sermon that music can do what alcohol can do to people. Al-Mekki says that you should keep music away from women, saying do not let them hear it. He says singing is one of the callers to fornication. He talks about the sexual effect male singers can have on women. He does this by talking about horses, camels, and sheep whose males make a sound and their females prepare themselves for sex. He compares the influence of music similar to a camel's acceptance of a melodious man reading poetry rhythmically and how it soothes the beasts of the desert. He doesn't have a very high opinion of women, does he? Al-Mekki goes on and talks about a man attacking people with his poetry and the day he cannot find someone, he attacks his own mother with his poetry. When there was no one to attack, he attacked himself. Al-Mekki also talks about Ozzy Osbourne being sued because it was believed his music was the cause of teen committing suicide. Further on, Al-Mekki's sermon, he talks of a letter written by a wealthy Muslim to the tutor of his sons. Now pay close attention to this. This is Al-Mekki story. Word for word. Here's what it says. He wrote to the tutors of his sons, who would teach poetry and refined manners and things to the sort. So wrote to him saying, let your first lesson to them be that hatred of musical instruments that begins with the Satan and end of the wrath of Allah. It grieves me that people with knowledge from listening to music and songs grow hypocrisy in the heart. The same water causes plants to grow. So with that, we say to one who listens to music, O Muslim, lawful things have good attributes. And he asked, where is the good in singing and dancing and listening to the flutes? Can we compare the wisdom and songs of musicians to the glorious Quran, its wisdom and admonitions? How many singers do you know and give admiration? And how many do you know of the companions and the following generation? How much do you spend on singers from your dollars compared to what you know of Islamic scholars? Do you see how much is memorized of music and songs while you ignore the books to which memorization belongs? How much do you memorize of these incantations and sway back and forth in intoxication? Have you not seen those who follow the misguided and increase the loudness of the music when they should hide it? Shiites also do not accept musical instruments. On ShiaChat.com, a question was asked if music in general is forbidden. Sayyid Rizvi answered the question by citing Shiite traditions. Hazrat Imam Ali Ar-Reza remarks, quote, a person invites divine wrath when in his house instruments like flute, drum, and chess are played for 40 days. If this man dies within 40 days, his death would be of a sinner and the transgressor. His place shall be in hell. What a dreadful place it is. The Holy prophet has stated, a person who possesses a sitar on the day of Kiamat will be raised with a black face. His hands will be holding a sitar of fire. 70,000 angels with maces of fire will be hitting him on the face and the head. The singer will arise from his grave blind, deaf, and dumb. The adulterer will be similarly raised. The player of flute will also be made to rise in the ways, as will be the drum player. That's Mustadrakul Wasel. One more of his. Hazrat Imam Ali Al-Reza said, to listen to a musical instrument is one of the greater sins. Wasel also said, Amirul Mominin Ali says, angels do not even enter a house that has wine, drum, tambourine, or a flute. Even the prayers of inhabitants of this house are unacceptable. They are deprived of barakat. So the Shiites don't even make an allowance for tambourines. It is allowed by Sunnis. Interestingly, many Muslims living in Western civilization holding opposing views about music. There are many. I mean, I can't tell you how many when I take Uber or Lyft or whatever. I can't tell you how many of these Muslim people, followers of Islam, will listen to music as they drive. And I kind of sit there and snicker in the back, you know. You know, they say they're Islamic. You know, they want the freedom that America offers them. But, yeah, they're not. You know, when you recognize that, you say something about it, it's interesting. They'll say, well, I really don't want Sharia in respect to that. But do you want Sharia? Yes. Again, pay close attention to what's going on here. This is some of the stuff to think about. Many Muslims, as I said, they hold opposing views. They're not necessarily all for all music, but they have some belief that they should be able to listen to it. Here we go. A 4.5. It's obligatory for one to know what is permissible, what is unlawful of food and drink, clothing and so forth, of things one is unlikely to be able to do without. And likewise for the rulings on treatment of a woman as if one has a wife. Muslims are not allowed to disagree with a scholarly consensus that creates Sharia. They must accept it. So those Muslims who argue for the acceptance of music in any other way than is defined by Sharia as acceptable are in a sense, essence, apostates. How does this affect Muslims? How does this affect all the non-Muslims? Muslims believe Sharia should be the law of the land. They want all non-Muslims to comply with Sharia. This is where it gets really important. So they're not only making their own people, other Muslims, follow this. If you live in the same land, you're forced to follow it. So no music for you. Now do you understand why Sharia could be dangerous to your freedoms? Keep thinking about that. In September of 2015, in the country of France, a Muslim was videoed teaching Muslim children about music. The children in the video are between 8 and 12 years of age. He said, when Allah speaks of music in the Quran, he reminds us that music is Satan's language. Where did he remind us of this? So those who love music and listen to music, what are they listening to? The children and the Imam respond together. Preacher continues. They listen to the devil. There are people who have disobeyed Allah and listened to the devil. What did the prophet say about these people? He said, they will be swallowed up by the earth. A child responds, surprised. Really? The Imam lets the child see he heard him and says, and they will be transformed into apes and pigs. So he risks being swallowed up by the earth. Second point. Allah will transform them into apes and pigs. Those who love music would love to be transformed into apes and pigs. You agree, right? No matter what language, the music, Arabic, French, Turkish, never mind, if there is a song and there are musical instruments, when you hear a violin, drummer, synthesizer, or violin, it is. Children responded, haram, which means forbidden. The preacher goes on, and the one who likes haram will be with the devil. And he who liked the music, Is he liked by Satan or Allah? Children quickly answer Satan. Continues. So you must choose your side. Empty your MP3. Transform it and replace it with the best words that exist. The Quran. If one says the musical instruments are haram and music is haram, and that those who love music are listen to music, risk being transformed into pigs, who will look like who? The children and the imam answer, Satan. In Muslim countries, they do more than condemn music with words. They actually arrest people for creating music. Mehdi Rajabian was arrested 3 times for making music. The first time he was kept in solitary confinement for 3 months. The second time he was sentenced to 6 years in prison and was forbidden from engaging in musical activities forever. There was an appeal due to international pressure from Mehdi, who was released having served 3 years and was on probation for an additional 3 years. Mehdi was arrested for the third time in January of 2020. Mehdi has a love of music, he said. In the Middle East, an instrument can be as powerful as a gun. Well, the Washington Report on Middle East Affairs ran an article titled The Suppression of Musical Culture in Gaza. In their June-July 2019 issue by Salsa Beal H. Hamdan, the article begins with a quote from Naeem Nasir. When music is suppressed within a society, there is something wrong within its history, ideology, mind, and of course, spirit. Naeem Nasir is a former music teacher and now a well-known director of plays produced in both Gaza and the West Bank. Islam suppresses music so much in the Middle East that there are no music majors in secondary schools or universities. For example, in most, if not all, of a few private teachers who are left in the Gaza Strip. The only music funded or otherwise supported by to any significant degree is that which exalts Islam or adheres to a narrow definition of Palestinian heritage. Now, Saudi Arabia ordered the arrest of a young woman for rapping in a video in February 2020 that went viral on YouTube because the video was about women and culture and was not particularly about Islam. Its content was judged to be un-Islamic. Now, something's un-Islamic. Ooh, that's a problem. I want you to think about that. If that's a problem solely because it takes away, it forces people to start evaluating if it's not Islamic, they have to hate it. This is where you have to understand things. People who have been listening to the show for a while will understand that, but this is part of what's going on. When they declare something un-Islamic, under Islam, the Muslim has to have in their heart hatred towards it. They are taught this from a very young age. People, do you understand why we should be very concerned and maybe make a bold choice not to accept any in the United States or any Western country who want to support Sharia? You know, this doesn't even address what happens to the billions spent on guns and military hardware left in Afghanistan. In case you haven't been listening, the Taliban in Afghanistan is not thinking about keeping it all. It's too much for them, too. We're talking about millions and millions of dollars worth of stuff. I mean, too much for them? That's the truth. And this is the stuff that's scary. Even Robert Spencer caught it. Now, he's been watching, and he's got contacts, and they're watching. They're watching what's happening. The Taliban, he caught this on Jihad Watch. Taliban is moving American military vehicles to Iran. They're selling them to Iran, people. So the weapons that were left for the Afghanistan army are now being sold to Iran. Apparently, they didn't have a need for them by the Afghanistan army. And the Taliban doesn't have a need for this. There's so many weapons that they don't know what to do with. They're giving them and selling them to Iran. Yeah. Tell me that those weapons weren't left there as an act of surrender. I'd have a problem believing it. This week, Marjorie Taylor Greene has been excoriated by the press as being Islamophobic for saying Islam is not a religion of peace. But I ask you, After hearing what Islam believes about music and hearing what Sharia lovers have done to an Afghanistan musician, do you think Congresswoman Marjorie Taylor Greene was an Islamophobe, or was she relating factual information? As someone who does research, I see her communication as factual. Now, I said this over and over again about Dr. Muhammad Shafiq, who speaks locally. He will go out and lie to people about what Islam means. We have a standing agreement. He stands up. I ask him, what does Islam mean? He tells everybody, peace. We've done this 3 to 4 times. It's not like he doesn't know my next question. Again, we've done this 3 to 4 times. This next question that I give him, he knows it's coming. What does it mean in Arabic? The cough and type thing and submission. My standard response. If I don't submit, are you going to kill me? Never a good answer. He doesn't really ever answer that question. Something to think about. Now, let's keep going. Maybe you need a bit more convincing. The Associated Press covered a terrorism case this Sunday. Police said Imran Ali Rashid ordered a lift in his home city of Garland Sunday, then fatally shot the driver, Isabella Lewis. Her stolen car was found a short time later outside the police station in the neighboring community of Plano, Texas, where Rashid began shooting in the lobby before being shot by officers. Police chiefs in both cities said at the Monday news conference. Matthew DeSarno, a special agent in charge of the FBI's Dallas office, said investigators believe Rashid acted alone. But the 33-year-old left a letter indicating he may have been inspired by a foreign terrorist organization. He didn't offer more specifics on the letter and declined to identify the group. DeSarno said Rashid was the subject of counterterrorism investigations from 2010 to 2013. Then the case was closed after agents determined Rashid did not currently pose a threat. Really? This is where it gets interesting, people. See, the stuff that is taught under Islam that talks about America being the threat, that we should hate them, that they should hate all non-Muslim things, that's standard teaching. It is taught in every mosque. So again, they don't know what to think. You know, they don't know how, you know, so this guy listens to this all the time. Will he act? They don't know, because a lot of people don't. This is the catch. People, you know who they consider extremist Muslims? The Muslims who act on what they believe. Extremists. But they haven't changed any of their faith, any of their beliefs. They are the people who act on what they believe. Those are the extremists. I thought extremism was stuff that's outside the norm. Well, in this country, the norm is going along and getting along, I guess. As long as you don't do, you know, you don't give an example of what you believe, that's okay. No, I would say the extremism is being the one to keep silent and to not act on your belief. But you don't want to listen. The agency had said, I want to keep going on this. They closed this in 2013. They had looked at him, and they said he was okay. But the agency's regional terrorism task force is working on the current investigation of Lewis's killing. Now, I keep mentioning that this was done, this purpose of the Afghanistan the planned fiasco was to create tens of thousands of Islamic refugees. Now, I keep thinking about these behaviors I was just mentioning. You have somebody who's chem here. You have terrorism acts. You have people who love Sharia that don't even want you to be able to listen to your music. And let's start thinking about this. When they have the refugees coming here, who is the one to greet them? Who? Now, we already know. We can already document who's doing this. Now, I know who's there. I didn't even have to look it up. You know, I did. And I found out I was right 100% of the time.
maybe. It should be 10% maybe, right? 20%, maybe 50%. But 100%? I'm talking about for almost every country in Western civilization who accepted Afghanistan, quote, refugees. Again, I'm considering a quote because I don't believe they are refugees. The vast majority are not. They don't fit that definition. They don't fear Sharia. They want Sharia. Things to think about. That's what they're... This is what's happening, okay? This is what they want. Who is it that's greeting these people who are coming in as refugees? It's members of the Muslim Brotherhood, people. It is members of the Muslim Brotherhood. Now, I met, I was on a fact-finding expedition to Europe. We met people in Paris, in Berlin, in Stockholm that were intelligence agents, all right? And they all said the same thing. In 2016, they believed the Muslim Brotherhood was behind the vast push because in their countries, the ones who were receiving all the Islamic refugees were members of the Muslim Brotherhood. Guess what, people? It's the same people greeting Muslims at the door when they come here. It's been that way for almost 25 years here. It's probably closer to 40 because we're talking about since mid-80s that this has been happening. That is the first person greeting them. It's hard to believe, but it is happening. Now, let's look at what Al Jazeera, the mouthpiece of the Muslim Brotherhood, is saying about the Islamic refugees that are coming here from Afghanistan. You know, I just said this is the reason why we have to look at all these, you know, we have to listen. This is kind of going around full circle. U.S. has moral obligation, they say, to aid Afghanistan. Afghan Americans are saying. Who are they asking? Now, if you're a Muslim Brotherhood entity, who are you asking? Other people who are sympathetic to the Muslim Brotherhood view. This is by Ali Harb. It came out August 31st. It says, Afghan American art activist Halima Wali says she receives a dozen texts a daily from people trying to flee Afghanistan. Her cousin, whose father worked with the United States and his family, were unable to get on an evacuation flight from the capital, Kabul, this month after two failed attempts and a fruitless 36-hour wait with no food and water. Now, Wally's relatives are living between safe houses in fear of Taliban repression. The community activist said as calls are growing for the Biden administration to do more to help vulnerable Afghans who remain in the country after the last U.S. troops left on Monday. While President Biden triumphs in withdrawal from one of the United States' longest wars, it leaves behind United States citizens, legal permanent residents, visa holders, and at-risk members of the Afghan civil society. Wally said during a virtual news conference on Tuesday. Wally, the co-founder of the Afghans for a Better Tomorrow campaign, added that the U.S. has moral responsibility to the people of Afghanistan after the 20-year war, followed by a messy and irresponsible withdrawal. Again, I submit to you, that was planned. It was planned to bring tens of thousands of refugees to seed the United States. We're going to keep talking about this. President Biden was elected on a values-based platform, and that needs to be extended, they say. This is, again, Al Jazeera. Extended. Yeah. I never cease to be amazed how morally corrupt this administration is. They have brought in people who we cannot trust, and they are running the circus. Pay attention, pay attention. This is just shocking stuff. Now, was I right or not? I mean, who's the ones beating people at the door? Even the Muslim Brotherhood rag Al Jazeera is saying it's the members of the certain groups. And yes, and what is the Al Jazeera? They are the Muslim Brotherhood mouthpiece. So they want us to be sympathetic. They want the doors open. Again, they want you to be sympathetic. Now, you're going to start hearing that on all of your news stations.
starts saying we owe allegiance to these people. We owe them. We should keep, you know, we should let them in regardless. They're going to say they shouldn't be kept in camp. They should just get out. If you listen, even DeSantis is taking this route. And again, it's because he doesn't understand the war. It is a war. According to Islam, it's a war. It's not something you or I would believe is a war, but they are saying it's a war. Now, I want to talk about, there is a person that I have, John Guandol has been talking about how they don't understand this war. And when I talk to generals and former military men, I say, look, you're the best war fighters in the world, but you don't understand the war at home. It's a war called civilization jihad. You're clueless. You guys need to wake up. Now, this comes from an article I wrote in 2015, March 18th of 2015, I published this. It was on the dangers of ignorance in a civilization jihadi world. I wrote, when a group of people have organized and stated their purpose is to commit acts of aggression against your government, it's time to pay attention and recognize a self-declared enemy, as simple as that, an enemy. When you recognize that you have an enemy, it's important to analyze everything about them. Why? Because an enemy must have a weakness in order to survive, and you have to be prepared for whatever an enemy may do against you. You need this information. Now, Sun Tzu, the Chinese general of great wisdom, stated this: if you know the enemy and know yourself, you need not fear the result of 100 battles. If you know yourself but not the enemy, every victory gained, you will also suffer a defeat. If you neither know the enemy nor yourself, you will surrender. You will succumb in every battle. So what does this knowing your enemy mean? If they have a religious belief, I mean, learning everything about that belief structure, you should be doing that. If they've committed acts of aggression previously, it would prove beneficial to study them, to learn how they may attack, how you can counter that attack. Does the enemy... think about this. Does the enemy have something they wear to identify themselves? Does the enemy follow certain rules and laws? Where is their headquarters? Where is their leader? These are drastically important questions to answer when you start to learn about your enemy. We were attacked on 9/11. We learned the coordinated attack was committed by Al-Qaeda. What we didn't know about Al-Qaeda What didn't we know about Al-Qaeda by this point? Well, we knew they were Islamic terrorists because previous to this, they had attacked the USS Cole on October 12th of 2000. They had bombed our embassies in Tanzania and Kenya. Did we know who their leader was? Yes, President Clinton stated he was given a chance to take out Osama bin Laden just hours before the towers came down. Yeah. We should be analyzing history to understand fully anything and everything about our enemies. An article written about near 2015 by Muhlenberg entitled Appeasement Kills has a clear message on the topic that needs to be heard. He wrote, history was meant to be the vehicle by which we learn some hard lessons, but regrettably most ignore the lessons of history and therefore keep repeating the same old mistakes. And one of the great lessons of history is the folly of seeking to appease our enemies. When groups have clearly declared their intentions to kill you, you do not seek to just get along with them. Isn't that what Joe Dementia is doing? Isn't that what his generals are doing? Isn't that what they've been doing for the past few weeks? It's actually months, people. It's months. They just have not learned. When groups have clearly declared their intentions to kill you, you don't seek to just get along with them or compromise with them. You seek steadfastly to resist them or else. The story of the Second World War is a classic example of this. Think about it. You may be asking how appeasement fits in here. This answer is simple. If we don't recognize a self-declared enemy, They could make demands or requests under the pretense of being a friend for the purpose of manipulation. A self-declared enemy, one who in secretly or openly proclaims a mission to destroy you, think about that. We have such an enemy, and the government is aware of it, but the government has not recognized them as an enemy. I can say this openly and boldly. I have actually done a lot of work on this. I've actually written a joint declaration for a joint resolution for Congress to recognize, and they still refuse to. I can't find a congressman to put this forward. All it is a simple recognition that the Muslim Brotherhood has acted in such a way that they have declared war on the United States. There are open declarations that are word for word declarations of war against the United States. But we do not accept that. If you are on the phone and you could actually, because I can't go into the green room, you have your hand raised. If you could go into our chat room and tell me what you want to talk about, I might put you on. But I can't do the green room and produce the show at the same time. So if you could do that, that would help. All right. Let me keep reading this. Again, this is from 2015 I wrote this. You may be asking, okay, is it dangerous for America? I mean, to not grasp this. I'm going to read one paragraph from the explanatory memorandum of the North American Muslim Brotherhood. One paragraph. Here it is. The process of settlement is a civilization jihadist process with all the word means. The Ikhwan, which is the word for brotherhood, must understand that their work in America is a kind of grand jihad in eliminating and destroying the Western civilization from within and sabotaging its miserable house by their hands and the hands of the believers so that it is eliminated and God's religion is made victorious over all other religions. Without this level of understanding, we are not up to this challenge and have not prepared ourselves for jihad yet. It is a Muslim's destiny to perform jihad and work wherever he is and wherever he lands until the final hour comes. And there is no escape from that destiny except for those who choose to slack. But would the slackers and the Mujahideen be equal? And the Mujahideen are the jihadis, people. That is the jihadis. Our current president, now again in 2015, was Obama. And he had issued a statement on whitehouse.gov that stated that the Muslim Brotherhood is a nonviolent group.
Yeah, so Hamas is a nonviolent group? Hamas is a part of the Muslim Brotherhood. Let's see. Al-Qaeda is a nonviolent group. You know what? Their leaders were considered honorable. We're talking about Osama bin Laden was considered a member of the Muslim Brotherhood. Even in his death, he is still considered a member of the Muslim Brotherhood. So they're nonviolent, right? Why would a sitting president lie to the American people?
My suggestion, if you want to know more about that, is to purchase my book, Civilization, Jihad, and the Myth of Modern Islam. If you want a good laugh, go to Amazon.com, and you can find that book listed at $902. They're trying to keep you from reading it, people. Pick it up from Selfies Publishing. Yes, you can. And it won't cost you $902. It'll cost you close to $20. Our current president, think about that. It was in 2015, and he was lying to the American public then.
What was his purpose? Now, this is the same president that let five kings of the Taliban go. And where are they today? They're in the palace in Afghanistan.
This is where I tend to think that the persons behind this entire thing are totally, I mean, could be, again, could likely be Obama. I can't prove that. I believe it's a possible. So I want you to think about this. What has continued professional ignorance of Islamic thought of Islamic terrorism brought us? I wrote this in 2015, people. the inability to understand an increase in Islamic migration into Western civilization as coordinated by jihadi intent. Public lies by three presidents stating Islam is a peaceful religion. And historically, this is erroneous, people. Public schools that now preferentially teach more Islam to students than other religions in some states. Some student textbooks that prefer Islam to other religions. Removal of subject matter experts who consider the Muslim Brotherhood a terrorist entity. Removal of any and all references to Islamic terrorism and jihad from all federal training manuals on terrorism. Again, this was 2015, people. Associated Press back then insisting that Islamic terrorism can't be coupled. You can't use that term.
It's against press standards right now. You cannot use the term Islamic terrorism. Isn't that scary? Why would they tell you this? Hello, Grayford. Thank you for joining us.
Let me keep going. Again, in 2015 I said this. Is it far worse now? Associated Press, when they removed that standard, I mean, I've been watching this progression. I've been documenting it. I've been writing about it. If I now have
released my fourth book on this topic. Trump's pullout of Afghanistan was planned for May. So, Grayford, Trump's pullout was planned for May. It would have, if they had done this pullout in that time frame, no citizens would have been left behind. Because they had not removed the CCR. The reason why they did not do the pullout in May was because citizens would be leaving the country first, and there would not be tens of thousands of Afghans coming with us. We would not be making tens of thousands of refugees, and that's the reasoning. That's why. They had to make an apparent botched operation so it would be confusing. It would be so the press couldn't get the full story. Now, this is the truth behind it. Now, again, this was documented. It's been documented by several news sources, even the liberal news sources, that Trump's planned withdrawal was for May. He had stages of it set up that when, the Taliban did this, this, and this, the United States would do this, this, they would do things and release and start to pull out. They had standards.
And if they had met those standards, everything should have been done.
But again, the planned withdrawal was to be ended in May. Everything was supposed to be done in May.
Again, the Biden administration would not allow that to happen. Because it couldn't be botched to give that appearance. This is important to grasp. If you were paying attention earlier, you would understand. That's why you think it's an excuse. That's why you're not on the show. And I'm not giving you time because you didn't listen, Grayford. Grayford's saying he just thinks I'm making excuses. Well, that's hilarious because if you had listened earlier, you would have heard everything. My suggestion is to go back and listen to the show when it's recorded. You'll hear a lot more documentation. But when you only hear half of the story, that's what you get to think. Again, pay attention. Let's move on. There's a lot more happening in the United States, and particularly in schools. As a former social studies teacher, I was shocked and angry at what Project Veritas was able to reveal this week. I was angry because this idiot teacher that they caught, who is Antifa,
openly, unashamedly, recruiting high school students to become Antifa. That violates so many codes of ethics. And here we go. I want to tell you what Project Veritas revealed. I want to share what they did. And then we're going to get into it.
I have 180 days to turn them into revolutionaries.
How do you do that? How do you bug out of bounds?
Sacramento organization that is under the banner of Antifa is very loosely organized, right? When there is like right wing rallies and stuff, then we like we'll create an opposition to that. Yeah.
Beautiful. Where would he go to connect with some of these organizations?
I post calendar every week.
Awesome.
And then so like and I do it for extra credit, so they get points for doing it. So that encourages them to do it. And I've had like students show up for like protests, community events, you know, tabling, food distribution, all sorts of things. When they go, they take pictures, they write up a reflection. That's their extra credit. Like I have an Antifa flag on my wall, and a student complained about that. And you said it made him feel uncomfortable. Well, it's meant to make fascists feel uncomfortable, because if you feel uncomfortable, I don't really know what to tell you. Like, maybe you shouldn't be aligning with the values that this is antithetical to. So the Cultural Revolution in the 60s was fixing the problem that came about after the economic crisis. It ultimately failed, right? There was a lot of excesses. People were definitely, like, you know, shot in the streets that probably shouldn't have been.
Incredibly ugly behavior come out of this city, and you can see a couple of people over there that might be demonstrating that.
I have 180 days to turn them into revolutionaries.
How do you do that? How do you bug out of them?
People were definitely shot in the streets that probably shouldn't have been.
I like what you said in our phone call. So like I have 180 days, right?
Yeah. I have 180 days to turn them into revolutionaries.
And that's the question.
Yeah.
Because a lot of them are indifferent. I think they're distracted by the gadgets,
sure,
and video games. How do you do that? How do you bug out of bounds?
Meet Gabriel Geit. He's a public school teacher paid for by taxpayer dollars at Intercom High School in Sacramento, California. Geit, who teaches advanced placement government classes, is not shy about his involvement in Antifa's local chapter. He even has an Antifa flag and a poster of Mao Zedong in his classroom.
So, it's like, my wife and I have been political organizers. I've been organizing since I was 13.
Wow.
And I've been in a ton of different organizations. I've been on the front lines, and I've taken a step back and gone back and forth. And my wife is the same way.
Is there a local Antifa or chapter?
Yes. Yeah. The Sacramento organization that is under the banner of Antifa is very loosely organized, right? We have no official like member list, right?
Yeah.
When there is like right wing rallies and stuff, then we like we'll create an opposition to that. Yeah.
Beautiful.
So Sacramento, as the city itself is incredibly diverse, but we're surrounded by a bunch of right wing rednecks. And then the other really big organization in our area that you're looking to get involved is NorCal Resist. NorCal Resist does direct outreach for like undocumented folks. They help them with like material support as well as legal aid and support with the help of the National Lawyers Guild. So they work in tandem with each other. So that's why I do like political efficacy events, because I want to get them out in the community. I want to get them familiar with organizations that are doing work, what type of work they're doing, how they can be involved, where their passion is, and what they can contribute. Because it's like every single one of us can do something.
Yeah.
I'm not asking you to all be on the front lines, but I am asking you to be involved. And it is so much more than just sharing a tweet or posting on Instagram.
Geif seems eager to get his students actively participating at radical, activist political events. But he takes it one step further by motivating them through extra credit in exchange for their attendance.
So for you, fit, like, let's say my son is pretty...
That dude,
he's 17, who wants to get plugged in though to actually doing stuff in the community, the activism, where would he go to connect with some of these organizations? Like people that are interested, are there flyers or something?
No, I post calendar every week.
Awesome.
Yeah. So
they're for the organizations that you mentioned, so they get to connect. That's dope, man.
And then so like I do it for extra credit, so they get points for doing it. So that encourages them to do it. Because like, I can't just like, hey, here's some things, they'll never go. Right? I've had like students show up for like protests, community events, you know, tabling, food distribution, all sorts of things. So I since I work with PSL, and PSL has connections with a bunch of other organizations, and also like Sacramento Peace Action, which is like a very old organization that posts the calendar on their website every month of all the events that are going on, and I just put them on my whiteboard, let them know where they are. When they go, they take pictures, they write up a reflection, that's their extra credit.
If you look at these photos from Guype's classroom, you can see he has an Antifa flag as well as a poster of Mao Zedong, the Chinese dictator who is one of the most notoriously brutal leaders in history, responsible for the death of millions.
I probably as far left as you can go. I've gone down those deep, dark rabbit holes where, like, the idea of, like, adventurism and just being like, why aren't people just, like, taking up arms? Like, why are we, and, you know, we have historical taking up arms, like,
yeah,
against the state. Like, and we have historical examples of that happening and them getting crushed and being martyrs for a cause. And it's like, okay, well, it's slow going because it takes massive amounts of organization.
Guype's radical philosophy is prominent in the teaching in his own classroom. Guype goes on to say he's not the only teacher at Intercom High School who shares his radical beliefs.
Yeah, because a lot of senior parents at this point have backed off,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
So they're kind of like, well, you can fend for yourself, you know. I know other people in my department who teach, like, 10th graders who've had, like, parent meetings, like, some, you know, students who complained about, like, a pride flag and said that they felt uncomfortable. I've had students, you know, during anonymous surveys at the end of the year, comment about the things that I have in my classroom.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I have an Antifa flag on my wall. And a student complained about that, and he said it made him feel uncomfortable. And I addressed it to everyone because I didn't know who it was. And I was like, well, this is meant to make fascists feel uncomfortable, because if you feel uncomfortable, I don't really know what to tell you. Like, maybe you shouldn't be aligning with the values that this is antithetical to.
You're distracted, bro.
Yeah. And it's hard,
it's
hard not
to. You make them revolutionaries. They've got TikTok. They've got,
right,
Instagram. That is.
Well, that's it. It's like, utilize that propaganda.
Yeah.
Right? Like, these are all great tools on how to get, you know, it's like, I've met so many people in my life who, when they met me, thought I was, like, off the wall.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And now they're all Marxists. Right? You know, and I'm just like, your political identification changed. And so I have a huge political spectrum in my room on the wall. So they take an ideology quiz in their unit 4, and I put their face, they have to give me a picture of themselves, and I put it on the wall where they are. Every year, they get further and further left. And I've made them pay attention to where my tack marks are, because I'm like, these ideologies are considered extreme, right? Extreme times breed extreme ideologies, right? There is a reason why Generation Z, these kids, are becoming further and further left.
Are there a lot of teachers like you?
I think there are more than there used to be. And I think that, like, there's three other teachers in my department that I did my credential program with, and they're rad. They're great people. And they're definitely, like, on the same page.
So what do you think of China, though? Have you been?
I have not. I'm actually going in April.
Okay, cool.
I
wanted to go, just to see it,
yeah,
because I hear conflicting things.
Yeah. I think one,
I mean,
there was the revolution that happened in 1949 with, like, Mao and, like,
yeah,
the Chinese Communist Party, right? And then, like, the Cultural Revolution that happened in the 60s, the 70s, up until, like, Mao's death, and then Deng coming in and, like, opening up to capitalist, you know, kind of investment and creating the roads that they're currently on. And then, like, what Xi Jinping is attempting to do now, kind of, like, going back to more the Maoist understanding of socialism. So you need a two-pronged system, which is exactly what Huey Newton and Fred Hampton understood, was that you needed propaganda of the deed, the economics, and also cultural propaganda as well. You needed to retrain the way that people think. So the Cultural Revolution in the 60s was fixing the problem that came about after the economic one, right? It was like, well, what can we do now to root out this culture that keeps perpetuating hyper-individualism, hyper-competitiveness, you know, capitalist exploitation, and consolidation of wealth. It ultimately failed, right? There was a lot of excesses. People were definitely, like, you know, shot in the streets that probably shouldn't have been. But I do think that it's important to understand that as an extension of an economic revolution. They were changing the base, and then they went to change the superstructures. And you cannot change one without the other. You can't have cultural shifts without the economic shifts, and vice versa. So I think that for movements in the United States, that we need to be able to attack both fronts, right? We need to create parallel structures of power because we cannot rely on the state. So we need to distribute food necessities. We need to create those mutual aid programs that we can look back at groups like the Panthers and learn from their successes as well as their mistakes, as well as consistently focusing on education and a change of cultural propaganda. Like, we have to hit both fronts. We have to convince people that this is what we actually need.
We caught up with Guy to ask for comment.
Gabriel, hello, how are you?
I'm good.
I am a journalist with Project Veritas.
I don't feel comfortable with this.
Well, I think that there's been a lot of uncomfortability in your classroom. And you mentioned to one of our colleagues that you have 180 days to turn students into revolutionaries. Would you a student voice their uncomfortability in your classroom with the Antifa flag? Do you recall that? You tacitly implied they might be aligned with fascists. I mean, is this the kind of behavior in line with the mission statement of your high school?
That you're harassing.
Sir, I'm not harassing you.
I'm asking you to leave me alone.
I'm trying to get comments.
You to leave me alone.
You're a public school teacher.
I understand that, but you're
a public school teacher.
And you're harassing me.
And you're teaching things outside the curriculum of your school. I have some footage that I need to show a member of the school district here.
You guys can't be in here recording. You need to leave, please.
Okay, we're trying to show you a
video. No, I want you to leave, and I'm going to call the police.
Guy believes it's okay to enforce his radical political agenda on his students. This tip came to us from someone on the inside of Guy's school and was corroborated by a Project Veritas undercover journalist. If you're on the inside of one of these educational institutions, contact us and send us a tip at veritastips@protonmail.com. We'll send our team of undercover journalists to corroborate. Be brave. Do something.
Now, if you've been listening, you're paying attention to what's happening, this should bother you that somebody could do this in a public school, that they could recruit. If you're really not paying attention, Antifa, when they come out, I don't know if you've seen them. I've seen them. I had them come out and protest that I was speaking someplace. I've had them make threats, had them raise loud, you know, in front of the police. And they're screaming, you're a fascist, while the police in front of us are laughing at them. You got to tell them they're idiots. They don't know that they are fascists because they're refusing to allow people to speak. And that's what fascists do. We're not out there telling them they can't speak. We're not telling them to shut up. We'd like them to let us speak. That is part of the way. Now, Antifa's flags represent the German Communist Party. Yes, before Hitler's Nazi Party was totally formed. So keep thinking about that. Again, I want to tell you that this release of Project Veritas that I just played was released the day before a school board met. That school board met. And, you know, Mark Dice, I love his work. He caught what the school board said. People said to the school board, because there was a lot of angry people who saw this, and they went to the school board meeting. And here you go.
So that communist teacher in Sacramento that was just exposed by Project Veritas is being fired. The school released a statement. Apparently they draw the line at one of their teachers indoctrinating their students into becoming little commies and giving them extra credit to go to Antifa events and parading around the community wearing gigantic hammer and sickle commie symbols. He also has a hammer and sickle tattoo on his chest, and you may have seen the Ingsoc tattoo that he has as well, which is literally him siding with Big Brother in George Orwell's 1984. But this isn't about just one scumbag teacher. This Project Veritas expose is going to have enormous ramifications across the entire country in hundreds and hundreds of schools. And James O'Keefe is such a genius. He released the video a day before the school board meeting. And so, well, let's just say that a lot of parents showed up and they weren't very happy.
Not only does his termination need to be taken effective immediately, but I believe a criminal investigation needs to happen immediately.
I was shocked when I saw this on the news. I don't even hardly know what to say. Teaching communism in the public school system is complete. It's evil. It's nonsense, okay? I've been to the former Soviet Union 7 times. I know what they do over there. I've worked with communist refugees for 40 years, since I was 12 years old. I know what it means when an entire family is blown to pieces and killed, okay? That's where this is going. This is evil. It's darkness. It is hell. And these are criminals for abusing our children. They're principals. They are principals. They are co-conspirators. They are accessories, and they are principals in this crime, okay? They need to be gone. All these people are criminals, and you need to treat them like criminals. All the principal, the vice principal, and the board has to go. I've heard that there's 2 other teachers teaching this evil in our schools. There are 3 teachers. That's evil. Little innocent children sitting here that I see, I look in their faces. They are pure innocence, pure love. And these evil people are putting stuff into them. Okay, this has got to stop. There is no excuse for communism on American soil. Okay, we need a criminal investigation.
This isn't going away. It's going to get uglier. It's really going to get uglier. There were so many red flags. The man had an Antifa flag behind his desk. He had Chairman Mao in the f***ing corner. Are you kidding me? I hold administrators at that school. I hold the person I hired. I was a correction officer. I retired from there. They went all the way back to my junior high school. How far did you guys go back? All you needed to look at is what his social community or clubs he belonged to. His tattoos probably told the story. So where does the buck stop? Is it with you guys? Because if it is, you better do your job and you better get it right. Because you're not going to get a second chance.
We'll expose them all. As people have mentioned, this guy had an Antifa flag on his wall. He had Chairman Mao on his wall. He was indoctrinating these kids every single day. He was abusing them, scaring them every single day. Where the hell was the principal? Where were the vice principals? Where was the other faculty at this school? Where was the superintendent? Where was the rest of the district? Where were you? You know, he was fired today. Why wasn't he fired a year ago? Why wasn't he fired 2 years ago? Why did this go on for so long? Why are you only doing anything about it now? Because you got caught. Exactly.
This means that in 2 weeks, in 13 days, he was allowed to change my daughter's mind about some fascist crap that y'all have let in this school. This is ridiculous. I'm from Texas. So this don't go on in Texas.
I was born in Venezuela. And while I have been here in the United States for many years, my family, my father's side, is still there. So what I hear is second and third hand information. I do not want this place and this educational system to become Venezuela.
Hi, my name is Brittany Johnson. I'm with KCRA 3 News. Just before I even ask my question, is anyone from the board going to be available after to speak with us? And if not, then I'll ask my questions here.
You said later
this week. Tonight.
I'm asking because we've been trying to get comment. We've been calling the offices. We've been emailing. So I'll ask my questions. Just 2 that I have right now here are, have any prior complaints been made against Gabriel Geit, and have they been reported to Intercom High School? If so, what were those complaints? When did they happen, and what actions were taken by the school? And if no actions were taken, why weren't they taken? And then another question, the teacher in question, Gabriel Geit, stated that other teachers do share his beliefs. Has the board taken steps to identify any of those teachers who may have been sharing their opinions in the classrooms? And if so, what actions are being taken?
Yeah, how is it that an open communist who looks like a guy who just got out of prison with tattoos all the way up his hands can be hired as a teacher? And that was just a small sample of the parents giving the school board a piece of their mind and demanding answers to a lot of questions. And so the school board called for a 5-minute recess but then they escaped out the back door. And usually I bleep the swearing in clips. I make the show family friendly. Just a heads up, I'm not going to bleep this. There's quite a bit of it, and it just I don't want to have to go through it and edit it out. So I'm going to play the clip unedited, just so you know, here in 3, 2.
All right, Madam Chair, I'm going to motion for another recess.
Second.
Second the motion.
Is there prior Hernandez roll call without objection?
That was fantastic. And as you know, since many parents got to have a little listen in to the indoctrination that the public schools are brainwashing their children with since the kids were stuck at home because of the pandemic over the last year and a half, well, a lot of parents are finally now showing up to school board meetings like this. And since pretty much every school board meeting is live streamed on Facebook or YouTube or on the school's website, and not to mention that everybody in attendance has a video camera in their pocket, we need to see more of this. Something else I want to see is Dr. Fauci getting arrested. I know, one could dream, right? But if you agree and you want to help spread the word and support my channel, order my new Arrest Dr. Fauci shirt from my online store, markdice.com, or if that's not your style.
Okay. So Mark Dice caught that, and I think that's hilarious that the people there stood up and were heard. What was hilarious is watching the board members who were scared because they were being held accountable. If this was known by any administrators that he was doing these things, he should have been fired. Now, I have seen conservatives get their feet held to the fire. And, you know, conservative teachers I'm talking about, they've been threatened with being dismissed. Why? Because they encourage their students to read the Constitution, to learn from it, and then base their classroom on the Constitution. Oh, because they teach the Constitution. Oh, and that's a horrible thing. That's what some teachers get in trouble for, believe it or not. So I want to play this today. It is from, again, James O'Keefe, Project Veritas, and it's all about the teacher getting fired.
Breaking news. Natomas Unified School District announces they will fire teacher Gabriel Geit. This in from the Natomas community letter just hot off the press. As of today, this teacher was placed on paid leave because of his actions and choices in the classroom. Natomas United will be taking the legally required next steps to place the teacher on unpaid leave and fire the teacher. From the evidence gathered so far, the teacher violated the district's political action guidelines, which are aligned with board policy and California educational code. This comes on the heels of us catching Geip on tape saying he has 180 days to revolutionize the students. He wants to scare the blank out of students.
I have 180 days to send him into revolutionary.
How do you do that? How do you bug out of that?
And an insider within the school taking pictures of the Antifa flag hanging on his classroom wall, which Geip said he wanted his students to feel uncomfortable about.
It's meant to make fascists feel uncomfortable, so if you feel uncomfortable, I don't really know what to tell you.
Letter continues, this morning, the walls of Geip's classroom were clear of all posters and signage. In fact, we've been able to corroborate this. In fact, someone inside the school has just sent us video of Gabriel Geip's classroom. All signs have been taken off the walls. The classroom is now empty. They have removed all political posters from the wall and outside the door. It previously said the teacher's name. It no longer says Gabriel Geip's name outside C207. A lot of people say nothing ever happens to these people. That's a lot of the comments we see. Nothing ever. Well, something just did happen in the state of California, no less, where it's very difficult for a teacher to be fired. And effectively, that's what this unified school district is announcing they're going to do. None of this would have been possible without Project Veritas, undercover journalists working alongside a tipster whistleblower on the inside of the classroom who reached out to us. It is currently 7 o'clock on the East Coast. We are very close to a school board meeting. You can stream that meeting here. We encourage you to do so. Gabriel Guype actually said in this video. There are other people who agreed with him. We want to know who those people are, and we want to know why the student voiced concerns and no one cared until we showed up. Stay tuned, and as always, be brave, do something, because it matters.
Now, I've been thinking about this. Is this teacher criminally liable? And I say absolutely, 100%, there are criminal charges he could face. And here's what they are. And the principals would be guilty of this, and his co-conspirator teachers would be guilty of this crime. It's a federal crime. Unfortunately, they have not been charging people with this for some time. The federal crime is seditious conspiracy. It says, the law says, this is 18 U.S. Code, paragraph 2384, seditious conspiracy. If two or more persons in any state or territory, any place subject to the jurisdiction of the United States, conspire to overthrow, put down, or destroy by force the government of the United States or to levy war against them. Isn't that what Antifa is doing? Think about it. Or to oppose by force the authority thereof, or by force to prevent, hinder, or delay the execution of any law of the United States, or by force to seize, take, or possess any property of the United States. Contrary to the authority thereof, they shall be fined under this title or imprisoned not more than 20 years or both. So this person and his co-conspirators who allowed this to continue were conspiring against the United States is how we have to look at this. They were trying to suborn and create, trying to indoctrinate kids into communism, into the promotion of communism. Again, this goes against our Constitution. This is important to grasp. And because we have not been jailing Antifa members on this charge, seditious conspiracy, error on the federal government's part, this is the charge that needs to be leveled against every Antifa member, because this is what they're doing. It's the same charge that should be leveled against every Black Lives Matter person who blocks streets, etc. And I don't understand why it's not happening. It's not like people like me don't do the research to prove these things, because unfortunately it's not being done. It is not being done. It's the very same reason you should be able to arrest Dr. Fauci. Absolutely, people. You could probably arrest Dr. Fauci on treason and seditious conspiracy. But let's get into that. Besides having Antifa educating children into a love of communism, which has been going on in colleges since the 1960s, today we are dealing with COVID fear and draconian rulings excluding all that have a mind and think for themselves. One example is what happened in Virginia. And I'm going to run out of time if I don't keep going here. Wow. This article I got out of Epic Times. It's Virginia Tech disenrolls 134 unvaccinated students. It came out yesterday. Virginia Tech has disenrolled more than 100 students for not meeting the COVID-19 vaccine requirements before the start of the fall semester, the university said Tuesday. What do you think about that? They have just, you know, they're stopping. I want you to think about that. They have said no. They have said, no, you can't come here because you are not vaccinated. This is scary stuff, people. It's scary stuff. Why? Because they don't want you to know about these things. That's where it gets scary. Okay. Let's keep going. Maybe the trustees of Virginia Tech should have listened to Harvard epidemiologist, medical school professor Martin Kohldorf. COVID vaccine gene therapy passports have been proven to be useless recently, according to a recent medical study. Now, I want to read this to you because I really believe that there is great importance from this study. And I apologize, this is probably going to be taken up a little bit more time than I expected because I have a large number of news stories I would have shared. But Harvard epidemiologist says the case for COVID vaccine passports was just demolished. This came out by John Militmore, and it's in FEE, Foundation for Economic Education. A newly published medical study found that infection from COVID-19 confers considerably longer lasting and stronger protection against the Delta variant and of the virus than vaccines. The natural immune protection that develops after a SARS-CoV-2 infection offers considerably more of a shield against the Delta variant of the pandemic coronavirus than two doses of the Pfizer and BioNTech vaccine. According to a large Israeli study that some scientists wish came with a "don't try this at home" label, the Scientific Americans reported Thursday. The newly released data show people who once had a SARS-CoV infection were much less likely than vaccinated people to get Delta, develop symptoms from it, or become hospitalized with serious COVID-19. Put another way, vaccinated individuals were 27 times more likely to get a symptomatic COVID infection than those with a natural immunity from COVID. In Israel, vaccinated individuals had a 27 times higher risk of symptomatic COVID infection compared to those with natural immunity from prior COVID disease. No COVID deaths in either group, though. And this study was done by Martin Koldorf, a Harvard epidemiologist. Think about it. A death blow to vaccine passports? The findings come as the governments around the world are also demanding citizens acquire vaccine passports to travel. New York City, France, and the Canadian provinces of Quebec and British Columbia are among those who have recently embraced vaccine passports. Meanwhile, Australia has floated the idea of making higher vaccination rates a condition of lifting its lockdown jurisdiction, while President Joe Biden is considering making interstate travel unlawful for people who have not been vaccinated. Vaccine passports are morally dubious for many reasons, not the least of which is that freedom of movement is a basic human right. However, vaccine passports can become even more senseless in light of the new findings out of Israel and revelations from the CDC. Harvard Medical School professor Martin Koldorf said research showing that natural immunity offers exponentially more protection than vaccines means vaccine passports are both unscientific and discriminatory, since they disproportionately affect working class individuals. Prior COVID disease, many working class provides better immunity than vaccines. Yes, COVID disease. Are you catching this? I want to read this again. Prior COVID disease provides better immunity than vaccines. So vaccine mandates are not only scientific nonsense, they are discriminatory and unethical. From a medical, that's a medical, it's a scholarly report. It's a scholarly paper. But you won't hear that from the CDC. No, you have to ask yourself, why? Why is this stuff being hidden? That's why I put this stuff out. I fight to get the truth out to you. It's not an easy task. Now, there's several organizations that are out there doing this. And I'm telling you, you can follow some of my work in doing this. You can go to paulsutliff.blogspot.com to read some of my past work. You can support my work by buying my books that are currently for sale on Amazon. If you can't find the Civilization Jihad and the Myth of Modern Islam book, my suggestion is you look for Sophie's Publishing and you will find it there. I have several copies you can actually buy from my blog, paulsutliff.blogspot.com. That's a great way to support my work. I also want to tell you of other great shows out there. there are a great number. And now I say that because I'm working with some outstanding people here on Global Patriot Radio. Tomorrow, we have Dr. Andrew Herod, well-deserved, a man of great respect that he's earned my respect. And my gosh, this guy is a genius. He goes out and gets the story. He's not the average reporter when he writes. He goes right and gets the story. So Dr. Andrew Herod, if you get a chance, pick him up and listen to him tomorrow. He's generally on around noon Eastern time. And then Saturday we have Usama Dak Doc and Christy Johnson. I tend to be in the background some days. I might be on Saturday night. We'll see. Sundays we have Erica Kafiristan, and he's also on Tuesdays. Now, Erica Kafiristan does debates and talks about topics on Islam, and it's really interesting stuff. Usama Dak Doc does evangelism, which I didn't mention. This information both of these guys give you on Islam, I say, listen, bring a pad of paper with you and pencil. Take notes. The information they're going to give you is outstanding, and it can be used over and over again. On Monday, we have the Vito Esposito Show. Now, and Al, if you come and listen to that show, my guarantee is you will be both entertained and informed. Vito and Al are the real radio men behind this network now, and my suggestion is you pay attention to them and listen to them. And then on Wednesday, because Eric has Tuesday also, come back, you'll hear Hank of Poly Sports, and I will be back next week. Now, we're going to be covering September 11th pretty soon, the anniversary coming up. I'm going to be talking pretty soon about that very, very topic in a way that most people don't. What was Iran's involvement? And again, I said I'm going to be doing this in a way most people don't, so that's something you're going to want to watch for. Whether I do that next week or the week after, that's something to think about. I'll let you know. I want to say thank you. Thank you for listening. And I have just one more story that I don't want to let go. I've been paying attention to so much information out there. There's just so much out there that I want to share, and I worry that I'm not getting enough information out to you. There is a large amount of Christians that are being persecuted in Africa by Muslims. And I want you to pay special attention to that. It's happening around the world, people. Muslims are attacking anyone not Muslim in some countries. In Tanzania this week, a gunman killed people. And you know, they're calling him a boy. This 29-year-old, he's not a boy. He killed four people and shot them dead in the name of jihad. These are sad, sorry truths, people. In Nigeria, these terrorists have killed 11 people this week. I mean, it's happening. The jihadis are out there every day. They only have one thing in common. They might come from different countries. They might have different races. It's not they're all poor. That's a lie. Because one of these people that I've been looking at for the news stories this week, that's jihadi, has a medical degree. And you know what? Osama bin Laden had a graduate degree. Keep thinking that it's people who aren't educated. No, their commonality in what they believe in is Islam. And that is the reason why we are not being successful, because we have people who refuse to look into this and refuse to learn the threat doctrine of Islam. That is the scary part to me. Now, if you want to follow me, here's the way you can listen to my stuff. You can go to paulsutliff.blogspot.com, or you can follow me on Facebook or on LinkedIn. on Facebook. There is a group called the Sutlifian Report. That's where I would suggest looking for me. My goal here is to get the truth out. It's to get the truth out over and over again. And it's only through your sharing this information that we can begin to change the world. There is an organization out there that I'm starting to work with, Republican Party Network. I think it's great. I'm starting to look into some of the stuff that they do, and I think that they have the potential to change the Republican Party because they want to be all about action and not about talk. So I recommend that particular network also. Get active, people. Stand up for what's right in your part of the world. Stop accepting things as normal. Start doing what is right. My suggestion is to find Christ first and then listen to what he tells you to do, because we cannot sit back anymore. We can't be silent. It's time to stand up, people. Time to stand up. We can no longer be silent. That's extremely important to grasp. And here we go with Toby Keith.
American girls and American guys, we'll always stand up and salute. We'll always recognize when we see your glory flying. There's a lot of men dead, so we can sleep in peace at night when we lay down our heads. My daddy served in the army. We lost his right eye, but he flew a flag out in our yard till the day that he died. He wanted my mother, my brother, my sister and me to grow up and live happy in the land of the free. Now this nation that I love is falling under attack. A mighty sucker punch came flying in from somewhere in the back. Soon as we could see clearly through our big black eye, man, we lit up your world like the 4th of July. Hey, Uncle Sam, put your name at the top of his list. And the Statue of Liberty started shaking her fist. And an eagle will fly, and it's gonna be here. When you hear Mother Freedom start ringing her bell, and it'll feel like the whole of the red, white, and blue. Justice will be served and the battle will rage. This big dog will fight when you rattle his cage. You'll be sorry that you mess with the U.S. of A. Cause we'll put a boot in your ass, it's the American way. Hey, Uncle Sam, put your name at the top of his list. And the Statue of Liberty started shaking her fist. And the eagle will fly, and it's gonna be hell when you hear Mother Freedom start ringing her bell. And it'll feel like the whole wide world is raining down on you. All brought to you courtesy of